Tonight, class 2 of 3 on the kingdom. I'm very excited to talk about some things tonight. We're talking about the values of the kingdom tonight. Its character, if you like. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is typical of the kingdom is going to be our focus tonight. The phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, a phrase Jesus used several times. And we're going to be talking about that tonight and thinking about what we learned tonight and how that fits together with the phrase I gave us last week, which I got from a book somewhere. I've actually forgotten which one. A definition of the kingdom could be this: the community or people ruled by God and with whom he dwells, to some extent reality now, but to be fully consummated in the future. And there's a lot packed into one sentence there. So we talked about that last week somewhat in a more technical sense. Tonight we're going to talk more about this in an experiential, cultural sense. And next week we're going to talk about how we grow into the kind of kingdom citizens that can enjoy what God is offering and make that attractive to the people around us. That's next week, about our growth into that. This week we're talking more about the nature of the kingdom itself. Now, tonight's class will be broken into two sections. The first, I want to develop an answer to a question I was asked last week, and I've had several questions, and thank you for them. The majority of the questions I've received have come from Obi and Peju. Actually, about 90%. Of the questions have come from Obi and Peja, which is fine. But and we're actually going to get to those, most of those, next week. They more pertain to how we live, mostly. But I did get a question from, I think it was Rudy, asked me at the end of the class last week whether I'd left the question of the timing of the kingdom open without quite answering it fully, deliberately or not. And so it was kind of deliberate, because it's actually not a difficult question to answer, but it's one of those things that is a little complicated sometimes to describe. So what I'd like to do tonight is, first of all, address that question about the timing of the kingdom. That's the first half. Then secondarily, we're going to do a bit of group work talking about the kingdom and looking at some parables in particular. So first of all, the kingdom, when does it come? So this is on your handout, and I'm not going to go through all the detail here because this is something we can take away and read and think about. But just to clarify some things, because some of the statements of Jesus make it sound like the kingdom is here with him. Some make it sound like it's coming soon. And some of his statements seem to indicate that the kingdom is still some way off. And so no diagram will do justice to this at all, of course. But to try and give us an idea, I would say this. The statements of Jesus in Luke 12, I think these references are on the handout, aren't they? Luke 12, Matthew 12, Luke 6, and Matthew 21. Is that on the handout?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So in some senses, the kingdom came with Jesus, was present with Jesus as he was present on the earth. As he said, if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Because that was exactly what was happening. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, not will be. In Matthew 21, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you, talking to the religious leaders of the day. So in that sense, the kingdom is present with Jesus in the time of the Gospels. So in that sense, the kingdom came. The reign of God has always been the reign of God, but in terms of the presence of God's presence with us in this way, then that's with Jesus at that time. However, then we have Matthew 16. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Hasn't he already come? Isn't he already standing there in front of them? but no, there's something still future to happen. In Luke 11 verse 2, we're told to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And if we're going to pray for it to come, and that's praying whilst Jesus is with them, it would be a bit strange to pray for the kingdom to come if it was already there in the personage of Jesus, right? So there's some other aspect of the kingdom still to come that his disciples are meant to pray for. So that's still in the future. And I would suggest that this is mostly the prayers about this present age that we are in, and it was inaugurated at Pentecost. When the Spirit came, then another aspect of the kingdom, another phase, if that's the right word, of the kingdom was inaugurated at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And then we have other statements like Matthew 25, when Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And that context is about judgment. It's not about present life. It's about judgment. And Luke 13, there will be weeping there, gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. When will that throwing out occur? That will be at a future time. And so that seems to be at the time of judgment. So we have three phases to the kingdom, three parts to the kingdom's presence and emergence and fulfillment. One is with Jesus personally when he's on the earth. The other is when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And the third is when judgment finally does come, when there will be no more opportunities to choose the kingdom. So we have three bits here. So let me stop for a second and ask if anybody wants to ask for any clarification or information that we haven't covered on this particular topic. Mark?
What about in Luke 17, 21, which says the kingdom of God is within you?
Mm-hmm. Give me the reference again, let me go to it.
Luke 17, 21.
21. Yes. When asked when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people hear, say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The key element of that scripture is not so much the in your midst thing, more that it cannot be observed. So Jesus is talking here about a character nature of the kingdom. That is not, it's not something like the Jews were expecting, like a Davidic king coming with a sword, with an army to kick out the Romans. So rather than it being something impressive in worldly terms, it's something that you wouldn't even notice it was there in its material sense. And we'll see that more in some of the parables we're going to look at later on. So it's more about that aspect than it is about that phrase of it's in your midst. And that's the partly to do with something like the yeast parable, which we'll talk about.
So referring to the fact that the Spirit of God is in us, is within you, is something. I always thought it is talking about, you know, because we have the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is actually within you.
Yes, but I would say that's true, but that's not what this is talking about. Because this is before the Spirit is given. So it's in your midst. If it means anything along those lines, it means perhaps that it's present in Jesus. But at this point, it can't be in the midst of, in a sense of owned personally by disciples of Jesus, because Pentecost hasn't happened. Okay. All right. Should we move on to some other aspects of the kingdom? All right, let's do that. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. We are going to look at some parables of the kingdom. So I'll skip through those verses because we've already talked about them. All right. So we'll just leave that there. Now, I have packets here. Here we go. Yes. Right. Now, I have 12 packets. So we're going to be getting into groups of no more than four, please, and I'm going to give you a packet. And in that packet, you are going to have a parable on a piece of paper printed out. And what I want you to do for, what time is it now? 41:51. So about the next 9 minutes or so, is look at that parable together, the four of you, and ask yourself the question, which I think is on your handout. What does this parable tell you about the character of the kingdom? Now, you are not analyzing the entire parable. Right? What does that mean? What does this mean? Don't try and analyze the whole parable or pretend you're doing a Bible discussion to study together. More look at this one particular question, which is, as I look at this parable, what is it telling me about the character of the kingdom? What does it tell me about the values of the kingdom? What does it tell me about the nature of the kingdom? What does it tell me about the priorities of the kingdom? What is revealed about the kingdom? What's the main thing revealed about the kingdom in this parable? So can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. So of course, to the previous parable which you talked about, maybe it's saying the same thing from a different angle. It's worth everything. It's incredibly valuable. Needs seeking. Okay, good. Another parable. Which one did you have?
The little children.
Yes. Luke 18, huh?
Yeah.
What did you see there?
I saw that in terms of their priorities, the kingdom belongs to people who want to be with Jesus, who run towards him. And like part of scripture says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder him. Do not hinder them. So
yes,
you sort of see these children with a forcefulness and an excitement that can't be stopped, running towards Jesus.
Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child. So there's an emphasis there on a humble reception. Perhaps a distinct, noticeable neediness. A willingness to be needy. I really need Jesus. I mean, I'm not going to get through this life without him. I need him. As much as, because also in this context, it does say they were bringing babies. And babies aren't running to Jesus. They are being carried. So these are desperately needy in that sense. And they are and dependent. And so we are kingdom people. We're dependent upon Jesus. Jesus is not an add-on, not a benefit, not a plus. Jesus is, we are desperately in need of Jesus. And that's our attitude. That's what kingdom people are like. Okay, another parable. Saraj, which one did you have?
We had Kingdom of Heaven is like going to a wedding banquet.
A wedding banquet, yeah.
And we thought that going to a wedding banquet is an honour. It is a special honour to go.
Yes.
We're celebrating and looking forward to going. But also, as we read on in the parable, it was some people didn't turn up.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, it's for everyone. It's not just for, you know, some people who are invited. And also, there were some people who came, but they weren't dressed appropriately. So it wasn't enough just to turn up. You had to turn up and be prepared. So kind of just, and the last bit where it says many are invited, but few are chosen. Again, just the standards are high.
Okay, thank you. Yes, there's a strong theme there and in other parables about the fact that God wants everyone in. So, and he wants everyone, and of all kinds. So the kingdom is a place where every sort of person from every kind of background is welcomed. Whether they stay or join is up to them, but they feel welcomed. And that's a challenge to you and I, isn't it? To reach outside of our comfort zones, our experiences and our background, our class structures in society, and our prejudices, to make everybody welcome. That's quite a challenge for any church, any group. Super. We've got time for one or two more. Which parable did you have?
It's the yeast with a woman.
The yeast, yes. Okay. What did you see there?
Yeah, the values, I mean, we thought about the father. Without the yeast, the flour is nothing.
Yes.
So the kingdom gives true identity. It also, it's impacting as well. Talking about the nature, infuses, and it's got depth as well. Because the yeast goes all the way through to make sure that the flour is turned to dough. So it's far reaching, it's long-bearing, it's enduring as well. Because the yeast goes through and works its way through, through the flour or through the dough. So that's what we discuss in our group.
Okay, so you're now going to go away and write a book about that parable. You've got enough material. Excellent, thank you. That is incredibly thorough. So one of the key elements there is what Jesus says elsewhere about how the kingdom is kind of invisible. It looks insignificant. The yeast doesn't look like it's powerful, but it is incredibly powerful in the effect it has on the dough. The kingdom is like that. It doesn't look significant, it doesn't look powerful, but it is incredibly powerful. A characteristic of the kingdom, it is far more powerful than people think, perhaps including those who are in it. God's power is far greater than we give him credit for. And that's something for us to reflect on. Are we conscious of the power available to us through God to make a difference in our lives and this world? It's incredibly powerful. It doesn't look it. Okay, one more, then we'll wrap up. So last one. Miko says, okay, I'll go with Miko. Go on then. Which one did you have?
21. The kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey.
Yes, okay. Yeah, so the king? No. Where am I? Matthew? Which one again? Matthew?
25.
Oh, 25. Okay. Yeah.
So
yes. He goes on the journey and he gives his servants three bags of gold. And
The three parts of gold, I think it's in the word, the message that God gives us. Mm-hmm. If we tonight we gain more. Mm-hmm. But we look at the one that God won. He didn't use it. And even the one he had was taken from him. Which means if we have the word, the message, then we don't use it. Mm-hmm. The one that is in there will even take it away from us. So if we have the message, we have to utilize it to benefit others as well.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. So, again, that's a really good application to us personally. And again, we need to think about that application. We also need to think about what does it tell us about the kingdom, not just our application. Both. It's both, right? And so one of the things it tells us about the kingdom is God resources every member of his kingdom adequate to what he expects they can deliver and use. We are resourced. The kingdom resources us. The king resources us to do whatever he wants us to do. And there's the opportunity for commendation and reward, as well as potentially the reward being taken away. But there's the opportunity to be rewarded and commended by God in the kingdom. What a wonderful thing. The king is a rewarding, commending God or king, and that's what he wants to be like. Now, there are several others which we haven't got time to look at tonight. I want to encourage you to do this, is take these home. All the references are on the handout. And have some Bible study, personal Bible study, personal quiet times, looking at these particularly, specifically from the angle of what do these parables teach me about the kingdom? Now, there is an application to our lives, but first of all, if we get clear what the kingdom is, what it looks like, what its characteristics are, it will help us to then live appropriately within that kingdom. We'll talk more about that next week. For tonight, the question I would like us to reflect on is, no, it's not on the screen. Okay, well, I'll tell you what it is. Okay, so when you look at the characteristics we talked about, or that you discover when you do your own study, which of those characteristics that we've surfaced tonight, or you will surface, needs the most work in your local group, in your family group? Which one needs the most work? I dare say you'll find some of those characteristics of the kingdom to be very strong in your group. But which might be missing or a little weaker or need some more development to maturity? I think that will help us practically. Next week we will talk about how we grow as kingdom citizens. So we'll come to that next week. And if you have any more questions about the kingdom and you're not called Obi or Paiju, then please send me your questions. And we'll add those to the pot for next Friday night. Thank you, everybody, very much.